Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is General Order Number 3. General Order Number 3, Headquarters, District of Texas, Galveston, Texas, June 19, 1865. General Orders Number 3. The people of Texas are informed that, in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quietly at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at military posts and that they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere, by order of Major General Gordon Granger. The Union Army had just captured the last Confederate holdout. The war officially ended like 2 months earlier at Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, but the campaign in the West had to continue for a little while longer. As the Union won the Civil War, the Emancipation Proclamation gradually took effect across the South, and with Galveston, it finally took effect everywhere across the South. The proclamation had been signed 2.5 years earlier, but the wording of the Emancipation Proclamation made it apply precisely where it could not be enforced. It applied to those states currently in rebellion against the United States. That also meant, speaking of the Emancipation Proclamation, that it did not apply, for instance, to Kentucky and Delaware, which did not secede, and so slaves in Kentucky and Delaware were actually not freed until December of 1865, when the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified. So when Black Americans celebrate Juneteenth, the name of the day commemorating this June 19th, 1865, when we celebrate Juneteenth, we're recognizing the sacrifices that turned Lincoln's words in the Emancipation Proclamation into actual emancipation as the Civil War was won. As white Americans, we can commit to the continued human work that it takes to make freedom real today, because a holiday is not enough to live out the legacy of what Juneteenth is there for. Today's scripture reading is about human work, about the human work that it takes to fulfill what God is doing in the life of the early church. So the early church was spreading throughout the ancient Roman Empire, and it was spreading beyond the barriers that previously had set groups against each other. And that boundary crossing, that threatens the life and stability of religious institutions. And so a political ruler who was pandering to those religious institutions decided to attack this new emerging church. So King Herod had had James, one of the early apostles, had had him killed with the sword. And then, for good measure, he had Peter, the sort of first of the apostles, arrested. And our story begins today with Peter sitting in jail waiting to be brought forth on his charges. And this is our series on women in the book of Acts. So even though everyone I've talked about so far has been men, listen for the women in today's story. Will you join me in a prayer for illumination? Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. Be poured out on us all and fill us with prophecies, visions, and dreams of the world made new. Teach us to love you and love our neighbors as we ought to love. Amen. The scripture reading is from Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 6. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. The angel tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly!" And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. They said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he went and left and went to another place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The first summer that Leanne and I were married, we worked at a summer meals program in South Boston. This program provided a free breakfast and lunch to kids funded through the USDA meals program that provides those meals. And it provided childcare all morning. So Leanne and I were shepherds, which meant that we rotated with a group of about a dozen kids between different stations at this summer meals program. So we spent all morning breakfast and then all morning with like vacation Bible school type songs and activities and outdoor games. And so it was like 5 days a week, all morning VBS, for 10 or 12 weeks of the summer, which means I have checked off my VBS box for the rest of forever. Being a shepherd there was hot and dirty and tiring work, and it was really fulfilling work as well, building connections with these kids, and particularly building connections with a lot of kids who really needed a human being in their life, a human adult in their life that they could really count on. That human aspect is so important. It's so important because we learn how to belong and how to feel God's love from human beings. For better and for worse, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and our world depends on people like us, which is why the church's message is so often fallible and partial, and it's why we know so often that real holiness looks so totally normal as people go through life in the world. Because the kingdom of God, when you come down to it, the kingdom of God is just people in communities learning how to love each other. There's a Father's Day connection in there if you need to make it. The best parts of today's scripture reading seem really simply human. Even though this reading begins with an angel and this dramatic jailbreak as the angel pulls the chains apart and sets Peter free from prison and these doors open all by themselves and it's all very supernatural and amazing. Then Peter gets to the church. He gets to the place where the church is meeting. Remember, the church is people, not just a building. Peter gets to Mary's house where the church is meeting and he needs a human being to open the door for him. He broke out of jail and he could hardly believe it. And when he finally realized that it was real, he went quickly to Mary's house. Notice a woman as her own independent householder. He runs quickly to Mary's house, and the servant girl, Rhoda, comes and answers the door, and she's so overjoyed to see, or to hear in this case, Peter, she leaves him right there on the porch and doesn't even let him inside. And she runs, and she tells everybody in the house that Peter is here, and nobody believes him. This is a really profoundly human story. Jesus said, "Knock, and the door will be opened to you," and I think Peter was expecting maybe that would happen sooner than it did. So he just keeps knocking until the door finally does open. Meantime, Rhoda is inside trying to explain, "No, I heard Peter's voice. It really sounds like Peter." She knows what she heard, and the rest of the church is just not convinced. Peter wasn't convinced at first. He didn't believe that the angel was even real until after the angel left. And the church, there's no angel at the door, and the church believes Peter is an angel, or at least that he's not real, when Rhoda comes and announces him. Notice only Rhoda believes that this is all actually happening. When you're reading the Bible, it is always worth noticing. If one character sees and understands something that nobody else in the story sees and understands, you pay attention to that character because she's got the story straight from the word go. Here she is, Rhoda, this young maid. She might not even have been an adolescent yet. She's far from the power center even of this human church congregation. She's even farther from the center of imperial power, represented here by that King Herod who's going to do whatever he wants to do. And she, Rhoda, is the first one who sees the Holy Spirit's power right there at the gate of Mary's house. Reminds you of Easter morning, doesn't it? Reminds you of those resurrection stories when the women had gone to the tomb and they've found that Jesus is not there and angels have explained to them what's going on and they run back and they tell the church and the church doesn't believe them yet. It's like our song that we sing after the benediction on Sunday mornings. You know, we sing that we are sent out in Jesus' name to go and do the work that Jesus calls us to do, but there's that really interesting line in there. The angels are not sent to do this work. That falls to you and me and all who are made free, right? That falls to us to go and do the work of building the kingdom of God in the world. The Holy Spirit falls upon us and fills us with God's presence to go be, yes, a very human church, but to be the human presence of God in the world. The Holy Spirit doesn't just make every individual human being right with God and, you know, cross off everything on the cosmic to-do list and we're all taken care of. The Holy Spirit's work is to heal communities, to knit us together into human relationships through these seemingly human means. So Peter is set free by this angel and the prison doors and the city gates, they all open by this divine power. But his freedom is finally real when that human door opens in front of him. That was our job at Summer Meals, to open a door in human terms, by human action, even though, or maybe even because, that door was already fundamentally open in Jesus Christ. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, we were free just to love those kids. Leanne and I were talking about a couple of those kids just this week. Because we know that our love for them is just a reflection of God's love for them, but it's a necessary reflection. We don't know what happened next for every one of those kids in that summer meals program. We won't know exactly what happens next for every kid who participates in VBS here at Covenant next month, just for 5 evenings, just 1 week. It's really not very much. But we do know that we held that door open for a little while. We helped hold open a door that Christ had already fundamentally opened. And we praise God for this gift of love poured out in human life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, a moment for mission. Our Moment for Mission celebrates Covenant's Vacation Bible School, which is still coming up this year. It will be July 11th through 15th from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. We'll welcome kids from age 3 through 5th grade for a COVID-safe adventure learning about God's love. And here is our friend Beacon to tell us more.
Good morning, Covenant. I'm Laura Schieber, Director of Christian Education, and I am here to tell you this morning about Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School this year will be July 11th through 15th. I have a special friend here with me this morning, Mr. Beacon. He is visiting with us all the way from Discovery Island. That is where we will be traveling this year for VBS, won't we, Beacon? Beacon is super excited to show us his island as we discover all the wonderful things God has given us and all the great things we can do through Jesus Christ. Be sure to sign up your child as quickly as you can at wdmcovenant.org. If you would like to donate to this year's Vacation Bible School, you can go online to our Amazon wish list. The link is in the corner as well as on the website and on our Facebook page. Right, Beacon? And there you can choose any of the items you would like to ship directly to us, or you can mark down that you're going to purchase them elsewhere and just indicate that you have taken that item so that someone else doesn't buy it as well. By donating to our VBS supply collection, you are helping to keep VBS free for all the kids to attend. That is just an amazing mission that Covenant can offer to our community. So thank you in advance for your generous donations, and we hope to see everyone's kids, friends, neighbors, cousins, grandkids at our Bible school starting Sunday, July 11th. See you soon.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.